I got to talk with the writer Emma Donoghue the other day. You might remember she got famous for her blockbuster novel Room, the one about a happy little boy growing up in horrifying conditions, born into captivity, mom abducted, where Room was darkness pierced with light. Donoghue's latest, it's actually for young readers, is pretty much all light. Even the idea came out of fun.
I don't usually make up my books during dinner parties, but this one came out of a conversation in a very raucous, noisy New Year's Eve dinner party.
What were you talking about?
Well, my hostess said to me, how come there aren't good books from middle grade that feature kids with two mothers? Write me one, Emma, she said. And then I thought, while I'm at it, let's make it really big, go big or go home.
So Donoghue dreamed up a big, boisterous, diverse family, one that starts with two sets of same-sex couples deciding to have children.
Once upon a time, a man from Delhi and a man from Yukon fell in love, and so did a woman from Jamaica and a Mohawk woman. The two couples became best friends and had a baby together. When they won the lottery, they gave up their jobs and found a big old house where their family could learn and grow some more.
The book is called The Lotteries Plus One. The family, by the way, grows to include seven kids. And that plus one of Emma Donoghue's title, it's the addition that tips this family over the edge. Our guide to this story is the nine-year-old here. Her name is Sumac. What's her role in the family dynamic?
I would say Sumac, and by the way, all the children are named after trees because the family, the parents are such hippies. Sumac is the one who sort of keeps them all up to the mark. She organizes the family photos and slideshows, and she's the responsible one. Exactly. And I like the idea of taking this good girl and then plonking her down in a very chaotic household. She's surrounded by siblings behaving badly and often parents losing the run of themselves as well. So I liked the idea that the sensible, really naturally introverted one would be sort of the ringmaster of all this chaos, perhaps.
So one of the grandfathers is suffering from dementia, and his son says it's time for you to come live with us in our family. Sumac is charged with being his minder, figuring out how to make him part of their family. How does she navigate that?
Well, in a way, the novel is all about culture clash. And although Sumac is perfectly welcoming in general, it's hard for her to make room for this curmudgeonly old man who has never sought out his son's family, doesn't like his son being gay even. So, he's critical of every aspect of the house, from the fact that they follow the if it's yellow, let it mellow principle of water conservation, for instance. He's
sure.
Horrified by that. So he's really an antagonistic house guest to have. And of course, he's wretchedly unhappy at suddenly being yanked away from his own independent life. So really, the novel tries to deal sympathetically with the fact that there's some right on all sides here.
So this is a lovely story, and it's about family and relationships, but it's also a story about a tough thing, which is dementia. And you're writing for young readers. How did you think about presenting this particular condition?
This was one of the first things I decided about the book, because my own mom has been living with dementia for 6 years now, and she had just been diagnosed when I planned this book. And everything I read about dementia for children had a dreary tone to it, a sort of let's stop the action and all give you sad facts, So I don't believe there's any subject that can't be handled with a little bit of sparkle. So I try and make it very accurate, but also, accept the humor there can be in misunderstandings. Let him be a real character, not a textbook. And above all, I avoided being too sad in that the children didn't know this grandfather before. So they're forming a brand new relationship with this man. It's not all about, seeing a loving relationship ebb away.
Yeah. You dedicated the book to your mother, saying, quote, with love and thanks for all the conversations. Can you talk a little bit about how you started to see those conversations change when you started to notice that something was shifting?
I could talk about it. I may cry, but let's hope I don't. My mom, funnily enough, you can still have conversations with my mom now, 6 years on. It's just that you have to accept it's conversation that's not tied to any particular meaning. Because she was a teacher of English and a lifelong book lover, she's always had a really wide vocabulary, and that's a big plus when you get dementia. I always say to myself, if I end up with dementia, at least I'll have many words to choose from, because you find yourself using, synonyms, maybe elaborate or vague synonyms for words you've forgotten. So yes, my mother still has many, many words and her sentences still spill out in a very plausible conversational rhythm. It's just that there's no actual specific meaning to them. And my mother was wonderfully out about her dementia. She would sort of, she would say to me, I came out to the window cleaner about having dementia. You know, I love the way that verb for coming out of the closet has now become so socially useful for all sorts of situations, like when you need to explain to the window cleaner that you don't know if you paid him or not.
How were you able to rethink your relationship? Or did, maybe you didn't have to, but it would seem to me, as someone who has not gone through this, but that you would have to make peace with the relationship you had with your mom as she was and accept the person she is today.
Absolutely. I think, strangely enough, I think it's easier to do if you have a very good relationship. Because if you have a lot of unfinished business with a parent, then you'll always be wanting to kind of, you know, finally clarify issues, and you can't because they're confused. But in a way, my mother and I, there's nothing that remains unsaid. You know, I'm looking at the book, for instance, and I'm thinking, this is one of the first of my books that she won't read. But on the other hand, I know what she would think of it. You know, she's in my head. And also, when you're an emigrant, I think you often carry your loved ones as almost little memory packages. You can't talk to them every minute, and so you sort of mentally supply how you think they would react. It's like she's in a very faraway country.
Hmm. Novelist Emma Donoghue, her new novel for middle grade readers and their parents, we should note, is titled The Lottery's Plus One. Thanks so much for talking with us, Emma.
Thank you.